Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Football Absurdity Podcast. If you were tuning in just to hear the dulcet tones of Jeff Crisco, I'm sorry. I don't know what to tell you. I'm sorry. Just not here. I'm filling in for him. I'm Evan Hoovler, also co-owner of Football Absurdity. And you probably know me from the Discord, or if you don't, check out our videos on YouTube.com/footballabsurdities. I'm making a bunch of videos, which are kind of like Last Week Tonight meets Last Week Tonight. Okay, I'm ripping off Last Week Tonight. I'm going to be honest. I'm just ripping it off, okay? But as always, I'm here. Well, not as always, but tonight, I'm here with my co-hosts, Walker Kelly and Mike Valverde. Mike, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Colts have the fourth pick, so I'm pretty ecstatic. Not usually that the team you root for is the team that has most of the drama surrounding it, so we'll see who they go with. Me personally, I'll tell you if he's there during a mock draft, but yeah, there's one quarterback that I hope they get.
I know exactly who Mike is.
That was an amazing tease. We are just mocking today. One round mock. Each of us is breaking it up. Walker, what are you looking forward to the most in this mock?
All of my picks being 100% correct and exactly what should happen.
What I should think happen that's what's and happen. Correct are very, very different things, though. Frustrating me so. And we have a great special guest here. You've heard him on this podcast before. Filling in with the fourth slot is Tony Martin. Tony Martin has just stepped up a huge role in our Discord to make it a better, brighter place. Thank you, Tony. How are you doing today?
Good. You know, I decided that I should just be online more.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. That's a great call, Tony.
I got to say, Evan, your videos, first off, they're great. They're outstanding.
They can be better.
But I also feel the vibes I get are like old, like Colbert Report vibes.
Oh, nice. I'll have to rewatch those. See if I can steal some other stuff. Great. I'm dropping the script in the Discord Saturday morning, and I'll film it Saturday evening. I want a couple more pairs of eyes because I make little errors because I'm too busy producing a video that I'm starring in to worry about saying things that are, you know, true or correct. So hopefully that'll help it out.
All right. Are you gonna produce a script, or did you get a copy of the NFL script? Like a leaked copy?
No, I don't have a copy. I'm just gonna write a bunch of jokes about where these players land. Okay. You know? Should we just get into it?
Let's do it.
Yeah, let's all do right. It.
Carolina is on the clock, and that's me. And I think it's pretty obvious what they're going to do. They traded up from number 9 to number 1. If they wanted just a quarterback, they would have traded with like Seattle or Arizona or Detroit or who don't care and seeing if they fall. But because they traded all the way up to 1, I think it's clear they're going with what's currently considered the best quarterback in the draft. And that's, of course, Kentucky's Will. No, I'm just kidding. They're going Bryce Young. They're going Bryce Young. If you were just, it's like that Bart Simpson, it's like that Simpsons episode. If you were just 3 inches taller, you know,
yeah,
everything else seems to fit. And maybe, I don't know, do you think Kyler Murray made it work?
I mean, he's good. He's certainly good at football. I don't think it's his size that makes him iffy at this point. I think it's his weirdness.
Definitely weird.
I feel like if Kyler Murray went to a legitimate organization, we wouldn't even be having this conversation.
Probably. That's true. Which means that, of course, he should be traded to the Detroit Lions. The legitimate organizations that you'll find.
This will be the first number one overall NFL draft pick for Alabama since 1948.
Jeez. That's wow. Crazy.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that to, like, play it up. Like, that's actually crazy to me that's the case.
No, I only know because ESPN had some draft trivia, and they said that it was the first number one overall pick for NFL. And me being a hyper nerd, I was like, wasn't there a guy back in like the 40s? And I had to go look it up. And I'm like, yep, there was. Okay, I don't think there's a ton to say. Do we have anything else to say about Bryce Young? I feel like it's the 11th hour.
As a Bears fan, I think Bryce is the one I want to see least to Carolina. Because I think he has that immediate upside that makes the Bears acquisition of that next Carolina pick. I was hoping they would draft Levis and the Bears would get, you know, next year's first overall again.
Yeah, Levis has been getting more and more popular, more like Will Vegas, am I right? But I don't think they would have traded a one. They could have just traded like to one of these teams that would demand way less capital if they really wanted to play right. But then again, what they should do and what they do is rarely the same thing. Moving on to Houston. Houston's on the clock, and we have Walker making their selection.
That's me. Houston, in real life, there's been a lot of talk about them taking an edge rusher here instead of a quarterback. I personally would not go that route, and I would take the closest thing to a sure thing, I would say, in this draft. Maybe not the highest upside, but probably I would say certainly the highest floor of the top four quarterbacks, and that's C.J. Stroud.
C.J. Stroud to Houston. Oops, I'm having fun. Oh, nice job. We're battling Discord. Go on.
Yeah, I mean, Stroud is an extremely accurate passer, great size, prototypical, you know, pocket passer. He can run, doesn't do it very often, but he's capable. Basically, he's like, what if Jared Goff could run a 4.65? I mean, he's like a little bit better and more dynamic than Jared Goff. So I think Stroud will be one of those guys who's like the 10th best quarterback in the league for a long time.
Tony, you're a Bears fan. If you could switch Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud, would you?
No, not even. No.
No, you like your special bestest boy.
I think if people that didn't watch Justin Fields play in college still think that he's a pure scrambler and they haven't, well, if they watched him, they either watched him in a Matt Nagy offense or an offense with no line. So he does make some reads that I'm not super keen on, but you know, when the Lions line up Aiden Hutchinson on the sideline to play an extra zone and pick a ball off, like, man, I was still like, that's tough. But I still take Fields. I think the upside's there, but I also like the idea of the floor of Stroud.
Well, you're talking about these people who have watched Justin Fields play college, and as an Ohio State fan, I have watched every game that Justin Fields and C.J. Stroud have played. And I think you're totally right about Justin Fields. I do think C.J. Stroud will end up with a better NFL career. First of all, everyone watched that Georgia game. That was just something else. What were you saying, Walker, besides boo?
That was it. Yep. I heard you were an Ohio State fan, and I was like, well, I got to get this out of the way.
I'm a Legacy fan. My dad went there.
It makes sense.
Yeah, so Bryce Young, C.J. Stroud, this final one-round mock is really mimicking about 150 of the 700 mocks I saw online this week. So that's a good time. Oh, and now we have Tony's first pick. Arizona's on the clock, and now we might have some uncertainty.
Yeah, I was going to say, not for long. Just doing some looking when we got the list, when we got all the teams broken down. And, you know, there's that tweet that Warren Sharp tweeted out today about all of Kyler's requests for offensive linemen getting ignored so that they can draft defense. Mm-hmm. And I think the trend continues. If you're going full, like if Kyler doesn't play this year, as much as I think Paris Johnson should be in serious talks to be third overall, I think they go edge. And I actually think they go with the edge that fits their system a little bit better. And they go Tyree Wilson from Texas Tech at 3.
Mm. I like it.
Very nice. I mean, I could see that happening. I mean, it's a little different, but it's definitely still realistic.
Right. It's, well, you know, they use a multitude of defensive fronts, right? And Wilson's, you know, much more of a versatile prospect that can play a bunch of different techs on the D-line. So I think Tyree with a year under his belt when Kyler comes back is pretty nice.
Wow. So you like him over Will Anderson Jr., and that's a system fit is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, I don't personally. I think it's dumb, but it's an Arizona pick, and I'm trying to pick, like, I'm trying to channel the Cardinals.
That is very fair and very true.
So I had potbelly for lunch because I feel like that's a Scottsdale thing.
Potbelly's good.
It is.
What is Potbelly?
It's a sandwich shop.
Oh,
it's
we have those here in Seattle.
It's better than Jimmy John's, but not as good as Jersey Mike's.
That puts it right into range for me. Jimmy John's, my big thing is they have like three vegetables.
Yeah, that's true.
I don't know if you know me. I like two things. I like meat and vegetables. My favorite candy is asparagus. So it's hard for me to find anything I like at Jimmy John's.
Potbelly doesn't have that many vegetables either, so you might be a little disappointed.
Yeah,
I am appreciative of the Jersey Mike's spicy relish.
Oh, yeah, I got that last time.
I order every sub I get at Jersey Mike's. Mike's way, no onion. Nice.
Do you feel like you're betraying Mike's way with the no onion?
No, I couldn't give two shits about Mike.
Mm-hmm. Won't catch you in Jersey anytime soon.
And never go there. Something we could give two shits about is the next pick. It's Indianapolis, and of course, Colt superfan Mike Valverde is
next
pick, is approaching the podium right now.
Yeah, I'm running up to the podium because I think the player that fits Shane Steichen's system the best is Anthony Richardson. He's very mobile, as we know, has a very good arm. Maybe not as good as like Will Levis's arm, but he can reach all three levels. He can press the defense, the safeties and defensive backs. And I think his mobility really, really works in this system. So Anthony Richardson, Indianapolis Colts.
I was sure that you were going to pick Levis.
Yeah, I like Levis a lot, but the longer, actually since the last time we talked to now, I've become more and more sour on him. So I'm going to tip my hat and say you guys were right about Levis. I should have watched more film.
I think Levis is overhyped. I mean, they already named a stadium after him.
Will Levis.
Do you think then, Mike, that Anthony Richardson starts week one?
No, I don't. Okay. I think he needs some build-up time, and that's why they went and got I'm drawing a blank right now. Who's the guy that they took from Philadelphia? Gardner Minshew. So I think Minshew will start the first 4 weeks.
Okay, cool.
Sam
Ellinger.
I really hope Indianapolis gets Anthony Richardson because I've got a white hot joke for that one. I'm going to say, and this is true, Anthony Richardson doesn't want to be called AR. Because those initials are a tool of mass destruction. And also because those initials are also of an even bigger tool, Aaron Rodgers.
That is a classic football absurdity joke.
I don't know if that's good. Oh, my God. Okay. So getting spicy here with three quarterbacks gone. So good, I just said it twice. And the first four picks, will Seattle make a pick? We're going to find out as Tony approaches the podium to pick for the Seahawks.
Hello. So I was torn here, and I think this pick is just will end up with Walker taking whoever I don't. I really think that you could make a convincing argument for both Will Anderson and Jalen Carter, but I think I'm going to go with Will Anderson, even though I think Carter is a better fit and fits a bigger need. But I think Will Anderson is the play for Seattle at five.
Interesting. That's fair. I think Seattle will be very happy to get Will Anderson. I can see smiling Pete here.
With Arizona taking Tyree Wilson essentially removed Seattle's like ability to bozo this pick.
Yeah.
They've just got Anderson and Carter staring them in the face, and there's not really a wrong decision there. So, you know, knowing Seattle, they would pick like, you know, some random guy for no apparent reason. Like they would pick Devin Witherspoon at five.
I'm really going to tear into anybody who doesn't see any team that doesn't see that Tyree Wilson, Will Anderson, and Jalen Carter are kind of like their own tier. Here.
Well, I don't have Wilson along with those guys, but
okay, fair. That's fair. But it's still like you're looking at Anderson and Carter as their own tier, so that's the same
kind of thing. Definitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean I certainly like Anderson. I think he's the I think he's the second most talented defensive player in this draft and probably will have the best pro career. I think this would be a home run pick for Seattle. Him along with Uchenna Nwosu is a pretty damn good pass rush tandem.
Yeah, I agree. They're still going to be, you know, making game-breaking fantasy performances by opposing running backs until they get someone on the interior line. But I think the second round is going to be so full of nose tackles, zero techs, all those types of people that I think that they can take the edge here at five.
And don't they have 2 second-round picks too?
They also have pick 20 in this round.
Yeah, they can just spend Denver's money all over.
Love it.
Placed. All right. Oh, this is exciting. We've got Detroit fan Walker coming up here to make the number 6 pick. Actually, since we've done 5, let's go over it so far. It's Carolina pick Bryce Young, Houston pick C.J. Stroud, Arizona pick Tyree Wilson, Indianapolis Anthony Richardson, and Seattle just got Will Anderson. Take it away, Walker.
So I'm assuming that Tony's thinking was that between Anderson and Carter that I would just pick the one that he didn't pick for Seattle.
Yes.
I thought about Christian Gonzalez here. I'm not going to lie. He's, in my opinion, pretty clearly the best corner in this draft. Prototypical size, insane athlete, fluid mover, good ball skills. But the Lions have done their due diligence on Jalen Carter, and I believe if he's drafted here, then he's a player who fits the Lions culture. And so I'm going to take Carter because I believe he's the most talented player in this draft.
Yep. That's right. The culture you want him to be in, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, if Dan Campbell and Aaron Glenn and Brad Holmes can't straighten this guy out, then I don't know who could. Right. So I think it's worth taking a chance on a dude who could be, like, you know, truly gifted, one of the best defensive tackles ever.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Jalen Carter's 6th could be the pick of the century or not, but you got to roll the dice on something like that.
I agree.
No brainer. Okay, now we have up Las Vegas, my former favorite team. And now I got to save their butts. God, you owe me, Las Vegas. Let me see here. What are you doing? You never have a defense. But I'm not sure I like these defensive players still. Now that no one's falling, 7th is really hard because, boy, I want Carter or Will Anderson or even Tyree.
Well, I've seen a lot of those guys at fall at 7 in mocks.
Yeah.
This has been the, from what I've seen, 6 and 7 has been like where Witherspoon has been going. I mean, you don't obviously have to pick Devin Witherspoon if you don't want to, but it seems like Detroit and Vegas are the two spots that people keep talking about for him. And I'm not sure if that's just based on needs or if that's based on intel. I would guess probably more of the former than the latter, but it's certainly an option. Him or Gonzalez would both be options here.
I was leaning between. I knew I was going to CB, read my mind. And so it's Joey Porter, Christian Gonzalez, and Devin Witherspoon. I'm trying to figure out the most Las Vegas pick. And I really think, Witherspoon is the most. We're only looking at upside kind of deal. So, yeah, let's go Devin Witherspoon. I think you nailed it right there.
All right.
The Raiders cornerbacks are just lifelong struggling. Their secondary has been bad for centuries. And let's see, which is why they probably won't address it, because that's not what they do. They'll probably pick whichever wide receiver has the fastest 40 time, which I believe is somebody that's not even protected for the first 4 rounds. So that would be them. But I can't not pick cornerbacks, and I can't not pick offensive linemen, or I die from thirst. So, yeah, let's go Las Vegas. What do you think about that, Mike? Devin Witherspoon to Las Vegas at number 7.
Yeah, defensive back, definitely. I would have probably gone Christian Gonzalez, but the Raiders, that makes sense. Devin Witherspoon. So it's just one of those things that they haven't, since Charles Woodson, that I can think of, that they've actually had a very good corner.
Nnamdi Asamoah.
Yeah, Nnamdi.
Asamoah, that's true.
Well, and you draft to beat the teams in your division, right? I mean,
yeah,
you're playing in a division with Kansas City and and Denver, like you're going to need to be defending just pass catchers. It's just what it is.
Even the Chargers have two, you know, good pass catchers and one and a great one onto the backfield too, if he doesn't get traded. So
I
could understand Vegas going corner. Personally, I prefer Gonzalez to Witherspoon, but I think they'll probably go either tackle or corner.
Yeah.
So let's get to another spicy one. I'm glad Mike has this pick because I like the way his brain works, and it's I'm never quite sure where he's going to go. Number 8, the Atlanta Falcons are up. Take it away, Mike.
Yeah, I think the Atlanta Falcons definitely needs offensive line help. Now, there's two. There's Paris Johnson and Peter Skorinski. I'm more of a Paris Johnson kind of person. I think the way he his long limbs and the way he's so powerful and just drives defensive ends backwards is what I meant to say. And once he grips onto a defender, you just forget about it. He's going to control that guy regardless of how athletic he is. So with the Atlanta Falcons pick, I'm going Paris Johnson.
If I ever did a real mock the way I want to do, it would be all offensive linemen, all 32 teams. So
I'm all you should write that guy. And put it on the website. That'd be funny.
Did I want to do that?
I don't know, but you should.
I think we talked about it one time. I remember you wanting to do that. I don't know if you actually did it, but yeah, that'd be pretty funny.
It's how it should be.
We've got like Chandler Zavala going like 20th overall.
Tony, what do you think Atlanta's going to look like this year if they put Paris Johnson on that line?
They go as far as Desmond Ridder takes them.
Yep.
Which is probably like 7-10.
And the problem is, right, is that they can't – they're a run-first offense with a defense that can't stop anyone.
Mm-hmm.
So you are constantly in negative game script and asking a game manager to be a game winner. And I don't know, man, we didn't get to watch him play with Kyle Pitts. He definitely saw Drake London and was like, this dude's good at football. Let me throw this guy the ball.
Yeah. He seems to at least have the ability to recognize, hey, these guys are real good. So I'm just going to like get the ball out of my hands and into theirs.
Right.
He also didn't throw any interceptions last year, so that was a positive. But, he's also not going to throw many touchdowns. He's not going to do a whole lot of running. He's not really going to go down the field all that much. They don't really have field stretchers consistently either, so.
He looks at Drake London, and he's like, you're like if Alec Pierce was really good.
Yeah, you're like if the guy that I thought was good actually was good. No offense to Jeff, but Alec Pierce is Alec Pierce is fine.
Alec Pierce is fine. Ooh, Tony's up next at number 9 picking for his Chicago Bears.
All right, so Bijan, no, I'm kidding. All right. The thing that I was saying earlier about you play to beat the teams in your division means looking at Detroit, who is loading up on the defensive line, means that loading up on the offensive line is a priority. They made free agency signings on the interior at guard. So I don't believe Peter Skoronski is the guy here because apparently Skoronski is just a guard. So they need tackle help. And since they're going against the Aidens Hutchinson of the world going forward, they are going to take Darnell Wright, tackle from Tennessee.
Wow. Okay. That would be interesting.
Tell me more. Right, Tony.
Okay. So Darnell Wright is a pure right tackle, and the Bears invested, you know, fifth round pick into Braxton Jones, who is currently the left tackle, who actually played every offensive snap last year. So they're looking specifically at right tackle. And this guy I think he allowed one sack last year and is considered one of the premier run blocking tackles in this draft. We watched, and I got to give credit to Waleed. He showed me some film. I was watching some Paris Johnson just getting manhandled against Georgia. So I'm wondering if Paris Johnson's, status as greatest tackle in the draft is questionable. And I think that he is right from Tennessee is the best fit for the Bears. I know it's a reach. It's only a reach by about 8 or 9 picks. I think there's a chance that the Bears move back from 9 in the real draft. And that's the play for me. I'm taking
Walker. Did I hear a little bit of a gasp of surprise coming from you when you made that pick?
Yeah, I was a little bit shocked that he went with Wright at 9. Not that it's necessarily like I definitely understand his thought process. It's just not where I expected him to go. I mean, Skoronski and Broderick Jones are consensus ranked higher and, in my opinion, better players as well. But, Wright is good. There's no doubt about that. He's a good player. I think his tape against Will Anderson is carrying him a little bit. I think he was a bit more inconsistent than what people are saying. He's not, he's not this like dominant road grader who's going to just bulldoze anyone in front of him. He's certainly good. And he will improve the Bears offensive line. So that right there makes it not a bad pick.
Yeah.
I just think there might have been better options on the board, but based on the thought process, you can't fault it.
Broderick Jones is tough, right? Because I agree with you. I think he's a better tackle prospect, but I also think that his size speed combo is not what pulls wants in an offensive lineman. But it's his second year drafting. We didn't as a team. I hate saying we. I hate when fans of a team say we. The Bears did not have great draft capital last year to invest in offensive line. So I think this year is going to tell us a little bit more about what the scheme looks for in players in that zone, that outside zone running attack.
Back-to-back offensive linemen. That's my kind of draft right now. Will Walker make it 3 in a row as he steps to the podium to pick for the Philadelphia Eagles, the Super Bowl runner-up that's somehow picking 10th because life is fair for everyone else's team.
For what it's worth, I would have taken Paris Johnson at 9 if he was there.
Yeah. So for Philly, there's a lot of options because they have a pretty, ridiculous roster. So, obviously, a lot of people have been penciling in Bijan Robinson here, which I don't think is a bad pick whatsoever. I understand that the value of running back can be limited, but Robinson is a rare prospect, and Philadelphia's top two running backs are a pass-catching specialist and a guy who's always hurt. So, I don't think that would be a bad pick. But I have a feeling that's not where they're going to go. I feel like they're going to see that their corners are getting older and have a possibility of getting injured. And therefore, I think they're going to take, in my opinion, the best corner in the draft, Christian Gonzalez, here at 10.
Christian Gonzalez at 10 is a bit of a fall, but compared to most mocks that I've seen.
Yeah, still top 10. But yeah, I mean, I think Tennessee at 11 is the lowest I've seen him go.
Up there. Yeah, Philadelphia. I said, well, it'd be 3 in a row offensive linemen, and then I realized it was a Philadelphia, and I'm like, no, they have the best offensive line. This is not going to be an offensive lineman. But don't worry about my fetish. Tony, what do you think of that pick?
If I think it's the best non-edge pick they could have made.
Yeah. I could have gone with Nolan Smith, I suppose, but
When I did my mock last night, which PFF failed to upload properly, I went Nolan Smith here. I think you could also – I've seen Lucas Van Ness here quite a bit, which I second that. But Christian Gonzalez in that defensive backfield is disgusting.
Yeah. I mean, they can push Slay into the nickel at that point.
That's ridiculous.
Which is just insane, yeah.
Fabulous. And let's keep it moving. Oh, it's Tennessee, and I'm picking. I wonder, gosh, Wonder what I'm going to pick.
Probably, well, three of their needs are offensive line. So considering that you're you, I'm guessing it's going to be an offensive line.
I am going to windmill slam Skoronski here.
Okay,
this fair enough. This is a no-brainer. I've said the Bears should have gotten him. Although the Bears got somebody that's pretty good. So, yeah, Peter Skoronski as a beast. And Tennessee really needs to sell themselves on Malik Willis because they're really kind of the latest word from there is that they are having trouble talking themselves into it. And when you want to see a quarterback develop, you give him more time. Well, if you're me and you know how to do things, otherwise draft Drake London, I guess. I don't know, man. But Skoronski is, I think, far and away the best offensive lineman. I think he's left in the draft. I think Paris Johnson Jr. might also be better. I'm not sure. But, yeah, I'm getting Peter Skoronski. What do you think of that, Mike?
Yeah, Skoronski, I mean, at time he was the number one guy, but he sort of fell a little bit. But I do think he's easily one of the top three or four offensive linemen in this draft. And he's explosive, straight line speed, can move laterally. Very, very good in pass protection. So, yeah, Peter Skoronski is definitely a stud.
Does anyone want to play devil's advocate against Titans going Peter Skoronski?
I don't think you really can.
Yeah, I mean, like, the only other thing I could say is, I don't know, maybe they could take another weapon, but, like, how is, even if it's still Tannehill, which it absolutely should be, because he's competent and Malik Willis isn't, but he's going to be on his butt before he has a chance to find his new receiver if they don't get some type of offensive line help. I mean, their line was such a mess last season, especially, I mean, Taylor Lewan will never be able to stay healthy again. He's just racked up way too many injuries. So Skoronski is, I would say, the easy pick, but also the smart pick.
I like it because some people are saying that Skoronski can't be a tackle. He's got to be a guard. Some people are saying it doesn't matter. He can be a tackle. It's perfect in Tennessee because they need fucking everything.
Yeah. He did play all five positions in college. I don't know if the Titans brass are going to do that, though, because they ended the season on such a losing streak that I could see them being like, we gotta do something flashy. Let's do Will Levis or something stupid like that. I hope not, though. I hope not. Ooh, the first team to pick twice of several this draft. Houston's up, and it's Walker making the pick. Oh, and just to summarize so far, I don't know if he's tuning in halfway through, but if you have a short attention span, Carolina started with Bryce Young. Houston picked C.J. Stroud. Arizona picked Tyree Wilson. Indianapolis picked Anthony Richardson. Seattle picked Will Anderson. Detroit picked Jalen Carter. Las Vegas took Devin Witherspoon. Atlanta snagged Paris Johnson. Chicago chose Darnell Wright. Philadelphia took Christian Gonzalez. And Tennessee just got Peter Skoronski, which brings us to number 12, Houston. Walker, you're on the clock.
So Houston has a pretty glaring need, in my opinion, at edge rusher. They got a really productive season out of Obo Okoronkwo this past year, but he left in free agency. And there just so happens to be a very similar player on the board with a higher upside. And that is Nolan Smith out of Georgia. So I'm going to take Smith here at 12.
Nolan Smith. Yeah, Georgia's defensive line.
Yeah, I mean, you almost can't go wrong when you're picking Georgia D linemen. But
yeah,
I mean, Smith is a little undersized, but he's a freak athlete. Great bend off the edge, tenacious player, can play and run support even though he's a smaller guy, fits that role in their defense. So I fully expect that Smith's going to go off the board in the first half of the first round. And I think that Houston would be a great landing spot for him.
I agree. Absolutely.
Mike, Houston then will come away with C.J. Stroud and Nolan Smith, that's not a name. C.J. Stroud and Nolan Smith. What do you think of that? Did they win?
Yeah, they really need a quarterback. I mean, Davis Mills is a wonderful stud, but I think it's time to put him to pasture. And then when you go to the defensive side of the ball as well and get someone like Nolan Smith, they're looking a lot better.
True. And speaking of better, Green Bay got a lot better by dropping the biggest tool in the NFL, and now they're hoping to get better in the draft. And, oh, this is me. Let's see. Green Bay is on the clock. They love love. They want to You know, I'm going to do it, guys.
It would be the funniest thing in the world.
I'm going to do the funniest thing in the world. Yeah, Jason.
Yeah, I was gonna say it would be so incredibly fun if the Packers finally took a receiver.
Ohio State, Green Bay does the amazing thing that everybody wants them to do: trades away Aaron Rodgers and finally fills his request to draft a wide receiver in the first round. Jackson Smith and Jigba is maybe not have the, he doesn't have the highest ceiling of the draft, but he's the most ready to play out of the box in terms of his ability to learn routes and run them. And that's what Jordan Love needs. He needs somebody out of the box because it feels like Christian Watson is still a work in progress in terms of learning things and not, you know, just running down the field and dropping a pass. And so Jackson Smith and Jigba will help Jordan Love not go insane. So that's who I have there. Anyone of you got to weigh in on that?
I would have done that. Yeah, I think that's exactly what they're going to do too.
I also would have done that. Yeah. I mean, they have a big hole at slot receiver. They don't have a good receiving tight end right now either. So they desperately need someone who can run routes in the middle of the field. Smith and Jigba is basically just Amon-Ra St. Brown 2.0. So I think it would be a great pick for Green Bay. I think he would be Jordan Love's best friend immediately.
As a Bears fan, I hate it.
Yep. As a Lions fan, I also hate it. But it makes a lot of sense. Right. It really does.
Moving on to the quixotic state of New England's mental capacity during the draft, or mental decision-making. Tony, whom are the Patriots grabbing at 14?
I have a ton of different, you know, spots on the rankings that I have for this pick. And actually, quite a few of the guys that I have as potential picks are still on the board, but we're gonna get weird here, and we're gonna go with Will Levis.
Yes, I was hoping you would do it. Let's go.
Mm-hmm.
We are putting Will Levis on the board, ending the run. Bailey Zappi's on the trading block. Mac Jones on the trading block.
I'm surprised Mac Jones is still a Patriot.
Yeah, Bill Belichick hates that guy.
I'm surprised they haven't dealt him at this point.
Well, this seems like a Belichick pick, right? Like, I've seen enough. This guy is here. It's value. Why not? Let it ride.
Yeah. Why not take a shot? Yeah, I mean, he's probably figuring, hey, I've got, you know, maybe two or three more years of this. If Levis turns out to be really good, maybe I can make one more run at the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
I don't think he's the guy. I really don't. But it's an understandable selection when you've got a quarterback that doesn't move the needle that you aren't happy with. Yep. His backup also doesn't move the needle. So they need somebody who can make plays on his own. And at least Will Levis has a strong arm and can move around. So he does more of what they need out of their current quarterback in their current state as a team. Do I think that he's going to work out? Probably not, especially in New England where they have like no offensive coaching staff. But I understand what the thought process is here, and I was really hoping that Tony was going to do that.
I think it's the perfect Belichick move where he's like, Will Levis is the biggest puzzle with the highest upside if I solve it. Let me do that one. I can solve this. I did it before.
Yeah.
And speaking of big puzzle, we're all puzzling about who Mike is going to pick for the New York Jets at number 15.
Yeah, it looks like the Jets pretty much have their offense set, you know, at least for another couple seasons. So I think they will be looking at defense and getting someone that is somewhat of a very athletic, powerful edge rusher, and that is Miles Murphy. And I think he fell a little bit in this draft, but as players do, they do. And he's someone that's very forceful, and quickly gets into the pocket and races lanes to step up. So Miles Murphy, New York Jets.
Wow.
If he hits right away and Quinnen Williams stays healthy, that's a pretty nice front four.
That's a nasty defense with those two. And who else they have? John Franklin Myers and great question who their other edge rusher is.
Miles Murphy.
Yeah, but that's one of those things that like takes that unit over the top, right?
I mean, I'm not super high on Murphy. I think he's pretty good, but I think that he tops out as like a number two edge rusher. And I just think they're basically filling up their team with a bunch of like complimentary pass rushers, and they don't have that one like true guy, but they might not need it because of Williams in the middle.
It's true.
Segue, you said they're pretty complete on offense. Did two mock auctions last night on Yahoo. I have a problem. I understand. Maybe schedule intervention for me. But Garrett Wilson went for mid-30s, like $35. And I was like, I don't know. Seems off.
I mean, is that too high, do you think?
It would be late second round in snake draft.
I mean, most people are probably going to have him projected as a top 10 guy, I would imagine.
Okay. Well, I saw a little sticker shock, but so it's nice to run it by people. It's nice to translate these things into snake draft and then run it by people. Mm-hmm. So I know what to do.
Garrett Wilson rules, but like, you know, I don't think Rodgers' arm has the juice anymore, man.
I mean, I would probably agree with that, but I think Wilson can be effective enough in the short and intermediate that he can still put up numbers, even though he can't go deep. Like, I don't think he'll have 15 touchdowns or anything like that, but I could definitely see him putting up like 95 for 1250 and 9.
Sure. That'd be huge. That would be well worth $35.
Yeah.
Yeah. Basically becoming like Chris Godwin, but juiced up.
And speaking of $35, Washington is being sold for $6 billion, and they have the next pick at number 16, and Mike's up again. Back-to-back picks for Mike. Who are you
taking? Back-to-back picks. Yeah, with some holes in this Washington's offense, they really need to step it up. And I don't think players like Jonathan Williams, Jarrett Patterson, Antonio Gibson or Brian Robinson is the answer. But there is another Robinson, Bijan Robinson. Bijan Robinson goes to the Washington Commanders.
Wow. Wow. I forgot I'm not streaming, and I hit the button for Kylie Minogue to go, wow, 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 and it didn't do anything. So.
That's a real shot through the heart of Brian Robinson. Am I right? Apologies to Brian Robinson. I'm glad you're okay.
No, I'm just kidding. It was awesome. Keep going, Mike. I want to hear more about Bijan. We all want to know where Bijan, all his fantasy heads want to know where Bijan's going, and now he's gone. Keep going.
Yeah, the guy is just easily the best running back in this class, and I don't even know if it's close. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs. I really just think Robinson is the best. Excellent short area athleticism. He's fluid between the cuts. Can get around the end. I think can catch the ball. I think probably the only thing that maybe he needs to work on, and it's not even really a thing, is being a better pass catcher. But even so, I think that'll be fine. His limitation is home run speed. He'll get caught behind a little bit, but this guy just is amazing. He does everything. When you picture a running back in your head, you're going to see Bijan Robinson.
He's also obsessive about tape.
Oh, go for it, Walker.
Yeah, he's also obsessive about tape. Like, he watches so much tape of his opponents. He says that he, like, obsesses over Barry Sanders highlights before he plays. So he's just he's got that insane guy mentality that you have to have to be an elite player in the NFL. I think he's going to be a stud pretty much no matter what the situation around him is.
So, okay, I'm glad this happened. Bijan Washington on the Commanders. Where is he? What's his ADP going to be in fantasy? PPR.
I think maybe like third or fourth round to start with. I think there's going to be a lot of hype around him. So he could easily move up depending on, you know, especially if he has a breakout game in the first preseason game where he scores as a touchdown or something and people are just going to be all about him. But I think logistically wise, I'd probably take him in the fourth.
Wow. I was going to say there's no landing spot for Bijan that he's not going to be a late second rounder.
That's exactly where I was going to say. Yeah, late second.
That's not to say that Mike's analysis isn't spot on about where he should be, but the hype train is barreling down and there ain't no tracks.
Yeah, hype train is real for sure.
But yeah, because I think like right now, April 26th, like third to fourth round in redraft makes sense. And then in 2 days' time, it's going to be up to, you know, early third. And then probably by the time people are doing their redraft drafts, he's mid second.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He's going to start going ahead of Nick Chubb.
Oh, yeah.
And it's going to be an insane thing to do.
As long as he doesn't go to the Bills.
True. Y'all
probably seen the video. I don't want 1,000 articles I have to write about that. All right. So Bijan Robinson went to Washington. That's exciting. And just to recap our last six picks, Peter Skoronski went to Tennessee. Houston went with Nolan Smith to get a defensive edge. Green Bay took a wide receiver simply despite Aaron Rodgers, maybe because he's the best wide receiver in the draft that can play right away. New England got Will Levis, which was exciting. New York Jets took Miles Murphy. And Washington has Bijan Robinson, which brings us to Tony and the Pittsburgh Steelers. Tony.
So I'm filling in for Herms, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I got to do right. I got to do right by Herms.
Nice research.
Originally, I thought about trading between the Bears and the Steelers because that's something that's already been talked about. And honestly, with Christian Gonzalez still on the board at pick 9, I think Pittsburgh trying to trade up here is reasonable, especially if it's a package of like 17 and pick 32 for Chicago's 9 and maybe like their 64.
Yeah, it might not even take that. It might be like 9 and a third rounder.
How did Pittsburgh get 32?
Chase Claypool.
Oh, right. Thank you. Okay. Yeah.
So, I think the board actually falls pretty fortuitously here for the Steelers. So I'm still going to go out and get my guy at cornerback for Pittsburgh. So we're going to go with Joey Porter Jr. from Penn State.
That's a good, I'm sorry, you have the floor, but that's good.
It's a Nepo baby pick. But I think Pittsburgh fans would freak out if they didn't go cornerback or tackle in the first round. And I think at 32, you'll see them look for an offensive lineman.
Joey Porter would be such a feel good pick and a smart pick, frankly. You know, I mean, they need so much, but we need so much. Why not just make the fans happy?
Yeah, I mean, Porter, he's another guy I'm a little bit lower on. Just compared to, I think this is an extremely good corner class. There's probably 8 guys that could step in and be starters right away. So this is, and Porter is definitely one of them. So not a bad pick. He's a good replacement for Cam Sutton in that he is a smart player. He's a physical player. Yep. You can't knock the pick. You know, obviously it's a legacy pick. He's the type of guy that's going to fit Mike Tomlin's philosophy, and he's a good player. So, it makes sense on a lot of levels.
I did toy with Banks from Maryland, mm-hmm. but I just gave the edge to Porter because I think it was just homerism.
Sure.
Yeah. We need a feel-good pick in this modern workaday world. Speaking of feel-good, Detroit's up again for Detroit superfan Walker. Who's got you feeling good right now, Walker?
Well, I will say that I think the board has fallen pretty unkindly for me here. A lot of guys that the Lions might be interested in have gone off the board a little earlier than maybe expected. A guy that I was looking at here at 18 was Darnell Wright, honestly. Him going at 9 was a surprise. Nolan Smith, another guy. I mean, I did that to myself, technically, but Smith's another guy that I would be looking at for the Lions. But I'm not going to go edge rusher here. We already took a defensive lineman. Lions have some decent depth at edge rusher, so I think we can wait there. It's tough. I just think that cornerback is so much deeper than wide receiver. Ooh. And so I'm going to take Jordan Addison, receiver out of USC.
Oh, I wanted him.
I believe is the second best receiver in the draft. And I really like his route running ability. I like his ability to get down the field. He can be a decent replacement for what Jameson Williams brings you for 6 games. And then once Williams comes back, Addison can transition back into becoming an intermediate target, which is what the Lions need right now, because they have a fantastic short area target in Amon-Ra St. Brown. They have a deep ball target in Jameson Williams. So they need somebody in that intermediate game. And Marvin Jones is only on a 1-year deal. Josh Reynolds is only here for 1 more year. Khalif Raymond's only here for 1 more year. So we need a long-term answer as that receiver opposite Jameson Williams. And who better than the guy who won the Biletnikoff as a sophomore with Keaton Slovis throwing in the ball?
Yeah, I'm mad. I did about a dozen mocks today, and every single one I snatched him up with Baltimore's pick and was like, this guy rules. So good pick from my point of view. What do y'all think?
Yeah, I think...
Oh, go ahead, sorry.
Oh, that's okay. I think he gives, as Walker pointed out, the third guy. You got the deep threat in Jameson Williams, and you got the short to intermediate threat with Amon-Ra. Now you got the mid-level threat in Jordan Addison. This offense is just going to be insane.
It's going to be disgusting.
If we got Jalen Carter and Jordan Addison tomorrow, I would be like running around the house. I would be so excited.
Excuse me, I had a cough there, so I took a break. yeah, I'm jealous. And I'm also a little bit out of sorts because I'm picking for Tampa Bay next at number 19. And they have lots of needs, but a lot of those needs are not doing great. Like, I'm not going to pick Hendon Hooker, even though they need a quarterback. And I'm not going to pick, like, Isaiah Foskey or Will McDonald, even though they need edge, and even though cornerback is deep, I'm not going digging deep enough for Cam Smith. And so I think whom they're going to pick, I'm going to default to what I know best, and that's the best player at one of their needs, and that's, of course, an offensive lineman, guard Osiris Torrance.
Ooh.
Out of Florida. I think that they got a head on them, and I think they'll think, you know, I don't know what we're going to do, but let's at least have ourselves time to do it. Oops, look at that. I just pasted a strike through over your nicely pasted thing. Sorry, we had a rhythm. I think Osiris Torrance, I'm excited about the offensive lineman at the top end of this draft. I think there's 5, Peter Skoronski, Paris Johnson Jr., Broderick Jones, Darnell Wright, and Osiris Torrance, who are ready to start out of the box, maybe not at the right position, but and I think that any of them can make a team instantly better. And Tampa Bay needs to figure things out. And you know I love offensive line when you need time to figure things out. So Osiris Torrance is a windmill slam pick here compared to what's available in the field at other positions.
Couldn't disagree more.
Yes, nice, go.
I personally don't think Osiris Torrance is even one of the three best interior offensive linemen in this draft. I certainly don't think he's bad. You know, he's a pretty solid player, but I think he tops out as like an above average to good interior lineman starter, which I personally don't think is a premier pick. They really need to replace Sean Murphy Bunting. They need somebody who can defend the nickel. So I would have gone with Brian Branch.
Ooh, nice. Nice. Brian Branch, safety out of Alabama. Alabama's going to have a bunch of people picked in the first round. Yes. You're totally wrong, Walker. Osiris Torrance is the solution they need. Sorry, I forgot how to do radio. My bad, y'all. You're not supposed to adjust your opinion, but I see what you're saying. And let's see what Tony's saying. Seattle should take with their second pick. A lot of teams with two picks in the first round this year, and Seattle's picking 20th after having picked Will Anderson at 5th overall. What are you thinking, Tony?
So the board fell really, really nice for Seattle here. I have my pick between Lucas Van Ness. I got Kalijah Kancey is out there. But I think having already addressed the defensive line, I think now's the time when you put the ball in Geno Smith's hands and you say, get us there. And Tyler Lockett's not going to be around forever, so you put his replacement in at the slot right now, and you let him develop into the wide receiver of the future. And I think that's why Seattle's going to use pick 20 on Zay Flowers from Boston College.
Ooh.
I'm loving this. I'm loving the Quentin Johnston hate right now. I really like that because I think that Johnston is pretty overrated. Certainly not the most overrated receiver in the draft. Jalen Hyatt. But Seattle seems like the type of team that would know what to do with a player like Flowers.
I agree.
You got thoughts on Flowers in Seattle, Mike?
Yeah, Flowers projects to be a slot receiver, and with the way that what's the quarterback losing Gino. Geno Smith,
he's a household name.
Yeah, total household name. gives him another weapon to throw to, and Zay Flowers could be the second, maybe. I mean, Jordan Addison is definitely up there too, but I think you can debate between Jordan Addison and Zay Flowers as the second best receiver in this draft.
Walker's shaking his head, but I'm going to go on record saying Zay Flowers is my wide receiver too in this class as well.
I know. We saw that when we did our receivers episode, and I don't know. Flowers is my number five receiver in this class. I certainly think he's a good player, but he's small. He didn't produce really very much until his senior season, late declare. So I think he'll be a good player. I don't think this is like a Dwayne Eskridge situation or anything, but sure. That wouldn't have been my pick. But I can understand why they would make that pick, especially with the stylistic similarities to Lockett.
Where would you have gone?
Man, you took Anderson first, so that's tough. I mean, I don't know. They don't really need corner that bad, though. I really don't know.
Roderick Jones?
Yeah, maybe. Because you can at least, worst case scenario, you could play Jones at guard for a little bit. Because they do have Charles Cross and Abraham Lucas.
Right.
But yeah, they could kick Jones into guard. I'm glad you didn't take Broderick Jones, though, because I'm going to take him here at 21 for the Chargers.
If Zay Flowers goes to Seattle, it would kill the fantasy value of a first-round wide receiver more than Any fantasy value of a first round wide receiver that went to Detroit in the past 30 years? Oh, Walker's up. It's the Chargers. Whom are you? Oh, you said Broderick Jones. Keep going. Why did I think I needed a segue there? Dang.
I'd like to remind you of Kellen Johnson's existence. Okay. Otherwise, you are correct.
We're moving on. Gosh.
Yeah. Broderick Jones being here at 21 is insane value for the Chargers. They can slot him right in at right tackle. It's just a perfect match. I mean, and if they don't want to play him at right tackle, if they want to stick with Jamari Salyer out of tackle, then they just move Jones into guard, or they can move Salyer into guard. He's played guard before. So they've got positional versatility there. They've got teammates on the same offensive line from college. Jones is a very good player. I think it's a slam dunk pick for the Chargers. And I know Evan thinks so too. Evan is muted.
And Evan was plugging in his computer because Evan hasn't produced a podcast in 2 years, so he doesn't know what the hell he's doing. All right, back to it. I totally disagree with whatever Walker said that I wasn't listening to. So let's see who he picked here. Whom did he pick? Oh, he picked an offensive line. No, he picked an offensive tackle. Yeah, perfect pick.
Yeah, okay, never great. Disagreed.
Fabulous.
What do you think, Mike? What do you think about Broderick Jones here?
I think if you're not going to go with him, I was actually considering him for my pick with Minnesota. But yeah, I like him. I think he has that elite length and lower body power that is really important for an offensive tackle, and he can extend well too. So. I think in this area, this is a really good pick.
Thank you.
Fabulous. And speaking of really good pick, I'm sure my Baltimore Ravens won't disappoint me again. And gosh, I'm trying to talk myself into Quentin Johnson. Yeah. Yeah. Boy, see, I'm like,
yeah.
Quentin Johnson's not that great. I agree with Mike. But then, do we need a safety? God, I don't know.
Not really. I mean, I don't think Baltimore's going to draft safety 2 first rounds in a row.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense. And then I'm like, well, the best player on the board is Michael Mayer, but he's a tight end, and I'm pretty sure we don't need that. So let's just go with Quentin Johnson and hope that everybody's smart in this podcast is wrong, and also I'm wrong.
Robbed again.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair enough. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time.
Baltimore's courted Odell Beckham Jr. They're clearly keeping Lamar Jackson on the stupidest deal ever because both sides are stupid and it's stupid. Their offense they showed in the first few games of last season, when their offense can open it up, they are fine. And their defense, it's like Denver's defense, where if your offense were to score more than 15 points a game, you'd be winning. So I think that they're going to go for, if one of the top 4 wide receivers is still on the board, I can't see them not just smashing that, no matter what scouts say, Anime and Walker. So Quentin Johnson, what do y'all think of that?
I think it sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, I would probably have gone with a corner. Most likely Deonte Banks. I think Banks is a physical, athletic player that fits what Baltimore does. Also, the added benefit of that he went to college at Maryland, so he like barely has to move.
Fair. He does know how to play in that severe northeastern weather.
That's right. Yep. That mid-Atlantic, it doesn't have the same ring to it. You know, you can't say like a nor'easter for the mid-Atlantic.
I can say whatever I want. The cornerbacks, I don't know. Their defense was good, though, last year.
True, but I'm just thinking that, like, Marcus Peters is getting old.
That's true.
They don't really have anybody behind Humphrey and Peters that I can think of. So.
That's true, yeah. Yeah, yet again, you've convinced me with your logic, which makes for bad radio. Moving on, Minnesota, and that's Mike, and not just for the alliteration, but probably just for the alliteration.
Yeah, actually, I was going to go Quentin Johnston here for Minnesota, but can't now. Minnesota needs a running back, linebacker, cornerback. So I think with Bijan Robinson off the board, could go Jahmyr Gibbs, but I don't think so. I think they do go corner and get Cam Smith.
Okay.
It's a good pick.
Cam Smith out of South Carolina. And I'm hearing y'all vehemently disagree with Mike. Wow. Just tone it down a little.
I mean, Smith is he's a tough player. He's a physical corner. He's a little bit different than what they drafted. I believe last year they drafted Andrew Booth in the first round, and he was hurt most of the season, so they haven't really gotten a chance to see what he can do. But they could use like four more corners, honestly. Like yeah. their corners are so bad. Even if Booth turns out to be good, they still have bad corners. So yep. Smith is a big, you know, long, fast, strong corner. Needs a little bit of refinement in terms of technique, and I feel like he's going to get a little penalty happy probably his rookie season. But, no, he's a good player, and I definitely think he'll have the drive to become a solid starting corner.
Fabulous.
Speaking of secondary, it's the smart play. I mean, I keep seeing receivers mocked to Minnesota, and all I can think is, like, did y'all watch Minnesota last year? Like, they made Isaiah Hodgins a star on their own.
Yeah. They made every opposing receiver room look amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. And speaking of looking receivers looking amazing, Jacksonville's secondary, I think, really needs some work. And I'm picking next Jacksonville, number 24. And I can't decide between Brian Breesy, Lucas Van Ness, and Brian Branch. I'm now going between, I think I've narrowed it down to Van Ness and Branch. Let's do a survey. There's three of you. We can get consensus. Vote Van Ness or Branch. Whom do you think Jacksonville would benefit from more?
Branch.
Yeah, I got to go Branch as well.
Branch.
All right. So I'm going to go Brian Breesy because I just remembered what good radio is. And so here he goes. Yeah, no, they definitely need to get some time. They definitely need to get that defense shored up now that they've gone out of their way to get a spectacular offense. And Brian Breesy is so much better than Brian Branch in the Battle of the Bryans that I'm just going to justify it. So what would you feel if they did draft Breesy over Branch there?
It's a steal.
It's still a good pick, yeah. I mean, Breesy is only dropping because of his injury history, I think. He's definitely a top 15 player in this class on talent. And he would pretty much immediately be their best defensive tackle, I would say. So, I mean, who was their best D-tackle last year? Roy Robertson-Harris, Bears legend.
Hey, he's an icon, man.
And
he should never pay for a drink.
Go for it.
Oh, he'll never pay for a drink in Chicago, ever.
He was good. He was really good last year for Jacksonville.
Yep.
I unironically appreciate Walker correcting my pronunciation. It is very key to me to get these names right. And Breesy, I got wrong. I said Breesy. And it's only because I haven't gone that deep to actually play a YouTube of someone interviewing him that I didn't learn it. So thank you for that. I appreciate that. Please feel free to do that every time. Pronouncing names is the right thing to do. And speaking of the right thing to do, I bet Mike will have the Giants doing the right thing here at pick number 25.
Yeah, let's hope so. It's pretty tough. I mean, we're looking at a corner, a running back, an offensive guard, safety, or linebacker. I should have not mentioned Branch because that probably would have been the best fit for the Giants. Will they go running back?
Branch is still on the board.
Oh, did you go? Oh, you didn't go Branch.
No.
Oh, no,
he completely ignored our feedback.
Oh, I thought he was just joking.
I took your feedback and chose to do the exact opposite for debate reasons.
It went with Bryant Breese. Okay. Well, then there's my pick. Branch.
All right. Fair enough. Yeah, I think that's a good pick. It is. With him still on the board, I could see that happening. I could also see the Giants taking a linebacker here. They really, really need like a number one linebacker. My personal preference would be Jack Campbell. I think he's the best linebacker in the draft, but some people might say Trenton Simpson. If anybody says Drew Sanders, they're out of their mind. Drew Sanders is not an off-ball linebacker. He's an edge. But yeah, I think Branch is definitely a smart pick here. He can play nickel. He can play safety. Very versatile player, good in coverage. So yeah, he makes the Giants better.
Absolutely. And who, like, the last good linebacker in New York was Blake Martinez, who retired to sell Pokemon cards.
Yeah. yeah. And who was the last good one before that? Did Jeremiah Trotter play there?
Jeremiah Trotter. I think he did.
Am I
sure? But I think he did. Jeremiah Trotter.
Just a guy.
No, he played for the Eagles.
He did.
Who am I thinking of? I'm thinking of someone. But Antonio Pierce.
Antonio Pierce. He was on one of their Super Bowl teams, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Man, I love remembering a guy.
That's so good. It's one of the best things.
It is one of the best things. Speaking of remembering a guy, I hate remembering Jerry Jones. Dallas is up next, and Walker is picking.
Oh, yeah, this is a super easy pick. You said, who's the best player on the board, Evan?
Yep.
Michael Mayer. So let's get to replace Dalton Schultz. Let's get a guy who's better than Dalton Schultz.
Yep.
I mean, simple as that. It really is. I mean, we lost a guy who's like the 12th best tight end in the league. Let's draft a guy who's immediately going to be that good as a rookie and then just get better.
Fabulous. I've seen some mocks put a wide receiver in Dallas. And I'm like, I think that's only because you looked at your board and were like, the wide receiver tree is the only one still bearing fruit. And like, don't do that. I like Mike.
Although it would be extremely funny if they took Jalen Hyatt.
Yes. Yes, it would. I'm hoping some good comedy options in our watch-along party. Oh, I didn't promote that. Our Discord is having our annual watch-along party where we watch the draft and react comedically. Hop on in the Football Observer Discord if you want to. Back to the coverage. yeah, Michael Myers. It's great.
He's gonna murder the competition.
Yeah, I was just gonna say he's gonna kill the opposition. Mike beat me too.
So many good team names. And here's a pick I'm especially excited for. At number 27, Tony's picking for the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, so Buffalo, actually, I really was really hoping Brian Branch would fall. I also think that Breece would be a good fit there. There was no reasonable way they were going to fall to Buffalo, but you can dream. So I'm in a weird spot because I don't want to reach, and because Josh Downs is a fun pick in this spot. I think we've seen that role exist already with Cole Beasley, and I think Josh Downs would be great in that role, but I also think this is way too early for Josh Downs, and that defense really lost a lot of steam the second half of the year last year. So we're going to go with Lucas Van Ness from Iowa here.
And I want him to fall to me.
That is such a Sean McDermott pick. It's insane.
It is. And like, I think Van Ness, this is considered like a pretty significant fall for him based on what people have been saying about him.
See, I think this is around where he should go.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think it gives them a little bit more positional versatility up front, because I still don't think that they lose to Cincy in the playoffs if their entire interior defensive line didn't go down with injuries.
Oh, God, their Daquan Jones getting hurt killed them.
Yeah.
Just kill them.
So just the extra capital on a guy that probably will start as a rotational piece, but you ease him in and hopefully he's fresh legs when the playoffs start. That's best case scenario.
Yeah. No, I like drafting with the playoffs in mind, especially when you're a team like Buffalo who has enough talent on the roster and has a freak at quarterback. So you can pretty much pencil in 10 wins.
Yep.
Nice. And speaking of penciling in 10 wins, Mike's picking for Cincinnati at number 28.
Yeah, their options, corner, edge, offensive tackle, offensive guard, and tight end. And tight end is the position I think they're going to go just specifically just because they need a weapon. And there's a great weapon in Michael Mayer, and he's off the board. So the second best weapon is out of Utah, Dalton Kincaid.
Interesting. Yeah, I mean, Kincaid's a good player, really good pass catcher, really good route runner. He's not going to get a lot of volume in that offense. He also can't block like at all. So I almost feel like Darnell Washington would be a better pick for them because he's an extremely good blocker and he doesn't need receiving volume. Whereas I mean, Hayden Hurst did a pretty decent job for Cincinnati last year, but I mean, even if you prorate him out all season, I think he would have got something like 65, 70 targets. I don't know. Austin, I mean,
also Austin Kincaid may not have all of his vertebrae intact.
I heard that he passed his medicals though.
Hopefully. Like, I don't like seeing guys injured.
I think he couldn't do the combine, right?
Yeah, considering that he's been mocked in the first round consistently over the last month, I would say his medicals have come back fine.
Yeah.
Good. Well, then I like to hear that.
No, but I mean, I could definitely see Cincinnati doing this. You know, it's not to say that Mike's gone insane or anything like that. He's gone insane for totally unrelated reasons. But
well, it's a luxury pick, right? But they've earned the right to make a luxury pick.
Absolutely, they have. Absolutely.
Someone who has not earned the right to make a luxury pick is New Orleans, who hasn't won a game in 5 years. And boy, I don't know. So looking at this is where my research kind of dries up. I'll take a look at the defense, the defensive tackles and the edges left. Does anyone have an opinion on one? Does one stand out here? Because they need both.
Can't see.
Mazi Smith.
Ooh.
All right. Tony gets 30 seconds, and then Walker gets 45 seconds, including rebuttal. Tony, go.
I think they're both extremely good at what they do. I think they do different things, and I think it depends on what you intend your interior defensive lineman to do on a given play. I think Kansi's the pass rusher. I think he's probably not super effective on early downs. And I think Mazi Smith is the opposite. He's a, you know, first and second down guy that you'll take out in pass rush packages.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that. Mazi Smith is more of a big road grader, but he is an extremely good athlete for his size. He's just not really a polished pass rusher at this point. I think he could become a pretty decent pass rusher on the interior, but he's never going to be a 10 sack guy, I don't think. Kancey has the possibility to do that. And based on his size, his best comparison is actually Melvin Ingram. So sure. Yeah. I think he would play more on the edge than up the middle, but they did lose Marcus Davenport. So a guy with personal, positional versatility, might actually be better. So weirdly enough, I think Tony and I kind of made arguments for each other's guys.
All right. Will McDonald it is. There we go.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
That's and now we have Walker picking for Philadelphia, another team with two first-round picks.
Yeah, this is interesting because usually Philly likes to focus on the trenches in the draft, but they're kind of stacked right now in the trenches. But when you've got the type of guy who has the potential to be a double-digit sack player who can play multiple positions, I don't think that's somebody that Howie Roseman especially is going to be able to pass up. And so I think that Kalijah Kancey would be the pick here with him being available at 30.
The rich get richer.
Yeah. Yeah. They now have the biggest and the smallest defensive tackles in the league.
And finally, at pick number 31, because Miami had to ruin it for themselves, we have Mike picking for Kansas City.
Yeah, with Kansas City, offensive tackle, wide receiver, edge, defensive tackle, safety. Knowing Kansas City and the way they like to draft, especially at 31, they're going to go wide receiver and an explosive wide receiver, and that is Josh Downs. Great twitch, just throttle, settingness, and just a very explosive change of direction guy. And I think you could use him in a variety of ways. This seems very much of a typical Kansas City Chief wide receiver.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think they would use him in a lot of the stuff they were using Mecole Hardman in, but he's a better wide receiver than Hardman is. So not only would they be able to get him touches in the short game, I still think he would end up getting probably 80 to 90 targets. So, no, I mean, people might say, oh, it's a luxury pick because, you know, you have Patrick Mahomes. But I think getting a cost-controlled solid receiver who's got a high floor is a smart idea here.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So I want to run down the whole board here, and I want each of your three takes on biggest surprise, best fit, and your overall opinion of how this went. Number one, Carolina took Bryce Young. Number two, Houston took C.J. Stroud. Arizona got Tyree Wilson. Indianapolis took Anthony Richardson. Seattle got Will Anderson. Detroit nabbed Jalen Carter. Las Vegas selected Devin Witherspoon. Atlanta picked Paris Johnson. Chicago got Darnell Wright. Philadelphia took Christian Gonzalez. Tennessee with Peter Skoronski. Houston selected Nolan Smith. Green Bay took Jackson Smith and Jigba. New England took Will Levis. New York Jets got Miles Murphy. Washington, Bijan Robinson. Pittsburgh, Joey Porter Jr. Detroit with Jordan Addison. Tampa Bay selected Osiris Torrance. Seattle took Zay Flowers. The Chargers took Broderick Jones. Baltimore took Quinton Johnston. Minnesota, Cam Smith. Jacksonville with Brian Brzee. And New York Giants with Brian Branch. Dallas with Michael Mayer. Buffalo with Lucas Van Ness. Cincinnati took Dalton Kincaid. New Orleans, Will McDonald. Philadelphia, Kalijah Kansi. And Kansas City with Josh Downs. Let's throw it to Tony first since he's the guest. Biggest surprise?
Biggest surprise for me was Will Levis being there at 14.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just makes too much sense.
Yeah, I love that your brain went the exact same place that I did when Levis was available at 14.
Yeah, I thought Evan was going to, like, fuck with us and take Levis to Green Bay
for a minute there. I thought he was going to take Levis to Tennessee at 11.
Never underestimate my willingness to fuck with Aaron Rodgers.
Also Walker. Never underrate Evan's willingness to take an offensive lineman when the opportunity presents itself.
True. It should be. Walker, biggest surprise?
Let's see. I would say biggest surprise would be Osiris Torrance going before Broderick Jones. That is certainly something that could happen, but I would be flabbergasted if there were teams that actually had that as their board. Not, like I say, not because Torrance is bad, but because I think Jones is a first round talent and he's a tackle, which is a more prime,
Yeah, you like those outside offensive linemen much more than the interior ones, yeah.
The positional value is higher, so that would surprise me if that happened. But I think it's certainly good content. And overall, I mean, you asked how this went. I think it went great. I mean, I really like how this ended up. I think a lot of these could be pretty accurate.
Mike, biggest surprise?
Yeah, I kind of agree with Walker with Osiris Torrance. I mean, it makes sense the way it worked out, but it was a little bit of a surprise for me. I think this was great. Everybody did a great job. I really don't have any extreme wow moments. Like, you're just like, okay, Zach Charbonnet, what? Kind of thing. So, yeah, I think it went really well.
Fabulous. Tony, final thoughts?
Detroit and Philadelphia win this draft if this is how it goes down.
Let's see here. Detroit got Jalen Carter and Jordan Addison. Wow, that's really freaking good. And Philadelphia, who deserves nothing, got Christian Gonzalez and Kalijah Kansi. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
Yeah. I mean, if this is how it shakes out, I hate to double back, but Will Levis, Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Nah. All right.
That would blow Walker's mind.
I would go crazy. yeah. I guess I'll jump into final thoughts. Yeah, I think that there's definitely, if this is how it worked out, there would definitely be some really interesting players still available in the second round. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs, Darnell Washington, Anton Harrison, John Michael Schmitz, Keely Ringo.
The overwhelming sentiment in the Discord is that this is a day two draft.
Yeah, there's so many good day two players. I mean, the corners, you just look at the corners. I mean, you've got, like, DJ Turner is still the sixth corner listed down there, and he's, like, a really solid player. So, the defensive tackles also. I mean, Mozzie Smith and Keanu Benton both being available in the second round. Fantastic players that can fit a multitude of teams. So, I definitely think that that day two could be the big story, but very interesting to plot this out and see how it goes. It's always fun to do it with multiple people and see how everybody's thought processes meld together.
I have a question for the group. If Miami was picking at 21, looking at the board the way it was, where do you think they would have gone?
Branch.
Okay.
Yeah, I think they go with Branch. And then what I would do to make it the easiest would be Miami at 21, Branch, and then I would replace the Giants pick with Jack Campbell, and then that would be that.
Makes sense to me.
Nice. Final thoughts, Mike?
Final thoughts? It was great to have Tony on.
Thanks, guys.
Yeah, it's really good to have Tony on. Love that.
Pleasure.
Wow, shots fired.
And it was okay to have Evan on, you know?
Yeah, Evan was fine. I think he did.
Let's see how the production quality comes out.
He only held the show together, No big deal.
But, I think this was a lot of fun. And appreciate all your guys' instincts and input.
Thanks, y'all, for letting me come in and host. Appreciate that.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And always starting. And for those of you, this is Football Absurdity during our final, hopefully our final, good Lord, who knows, we're addicts, final mock of the year. We hope to see you tomorrow at our draft party or wherever you are. We hope you have a great time and can watch at least some of the draft. I know a lot of you are having to attend music recitals for some of your favorite students. But for the rest of you, I hope you can do that. And yeah, goodbye.
Good night. Yeah,
DJ Tits.
Yeah. What they don't know.